Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. A great service department and sales staff. The service department is there to get it done for your current vehicle with diagnostics, inspections, and more. And the sales department is there for you, not just there for the sale. They're there to make sure you have the right vehicle that's at the right price for you and your future. And it's all Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Another good show coming up today. NBC Sports Phillies' Michael Barkan is back with us at 3:35. Sixers Heat Game 2 tonight. Heat lead 1-0. We'll break it down with him. Eagles draft. Phillies. Let's get into with Michael Barkan at 3:35. It'll be good to have him back with us. So looking forward to that. And with the Sixers tonight, is it a must win? I'm going to say yes, only because I don't know, or we don't know, what Joel Embiid is going to look like when he comes back to the lineup. Apparently he's doing pretty well from what Doc Rivers mentioned to the media yesterday, but will he fully be 100%, especially if he were to come back for a Game 3 on Friday? And if you don't have him back for Game 3 on Friday and you're down 2-0, well then, yeah, this is definitely a must-win now, because chances are you might go down 3-0 and then you're really in trouble. So I would probably have to say, yeah, it's probably a must-win tonight for the Sixers. And it's not like they're not capable of doing it. That was there. They were right there for three quarters in Game 1 on Monday. We didn't get a whole lot chance to talk about this yesterday. But if the Sixers can just get somebody else to step up, you thought it would be James Harden, but guess what? It's not going to be that anymore. Sixers need to move on from him. I'm officially there. Sixers need to move on from him next year. It was a good try. You at least got rid of Ben Simmons. Sure, you lost Steph Curry. Sure, you lost maybe Andre Drummond. I get it. It was a risk that was worth taking, in my opinion. It just hasn't really panned out, because James Harden is washed up, and I just don't think really wants to give that effort anymore. I just don't think that is. I just don't see that fire in him really anymore. It's very, very disappointing and frustrating to watch. He, again, was terrible Monday night. He was in double figures, I get it, but you shoot 5 of 13, and you had some really awful-looking shots again, especially from beyond the arc. So he's not there. To me, the X factor, if the Sixers are going to win tonight and really win this series, is Tyrese Maxey. Tobias Harris needs to continue to play at the high level he's been playing at, and he was tremendous Monday night. They need somebody else with Tobias Harris. But even so, with what they got scoring-wise Monday night, they were awful from the three-point line. I think they finished 4 of 24, which is like 15%. If you get half of those, they're right in that game, and maybe it's a different outcome. I don't know if it's enough, because, let's face it, the Sixers just have nothing down low in the paint to defend what the Heat have. And they continue to get killed in the rebounding department and second chance opportunities. They're just being out physical right now, which you thought would be the case, because the Heat are a physical team to begin with without Joel Embiid. So maybe it's not enough, but it's at least still a competitive game, maybe deep into the fourth quarter. I mean, you got to hit some of these shots. You got to be able to take advantage of your second chance opportunities, especially when the Heat were really turning the ball over in the second and third quarter alone, really badly. Sixers obviously have to continue to win the turnover battle. They can't have turnovers like they had in the first quarter and what we saw at times in the Toronto series. So it's not impossible. It's still a tall task, but it's not impossible for the Sixers to steal a game in Miami tonight, because they, quite frankly, should have had a better shot at it in the fourth quarter Monday night. I mean, you get down 14 early in the game, you go into halftime then leading by one, you have the momentum, you start off the second half pretty well, and then things fell apart after that because you couldn't make a shot. Miami couldn't miss. And then they started getting really physical and wore down the Sixers. And Doc Rivers, I tell you, I was for him. I loved when the Sixers brought him in. But, man, he really has not changed. He's been another example of maybe a different, you turn the page, give him a different shot, different opportunity. Maybe he has more success again. And just, no. Has been the same. He made a 3-0 lead interesting against the Toronto Raptors, and he continues to make really head-scratching coaching decisions, especially with the rotations. And then you tell your fan base, it or not, I'm still going to start DeAndre Jordan. The dude should not be on the floor, let alone start. And that's where you're going to tell your fan base, you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble.
So you go through a season, you build no depth, and then you, when you need it and don't have it, you yell at the fans.
And that's on the front office. I've said from day one, this team has needed more shooting. This team has needed more depth behind Joel Embiid. They had neither. And then they got rid of the half a player that they had in the James Harden trade, though, again, it was a risk worth taking. But it's a must-win tonight. And we'll talk about that with Michael B. today.
So they don't win tonight, the series is over?
I think so. Unless Joel Embiid plays in game three.
There are no games in Philadelphia?
There are, but if you don't have Joel Embiid for game three, it doesn't matter where you play. The Sixers cannot win down in the post, and I don't think that would have enough. If they can hit more shots tonight, like behind the arc, and not go 4 of 24, they can win, but I don't know it's ultimately enough to win a game. Joel Embiid needs to be back in game three. Whether or not the Sixers win tonight, if they're going to win this series.
Well, you know, MVPs show up. I know Giannis played the last two games.
That's because he didn't have a cheap shot artist up north that knocked him out.
Look, the bottom line is you're anti-Canadian.
Actually, I was, but my tone has changed a little bit after. Did you see the fan last night that gave the Aaron Judge home run ball to the young Yankee fan with the Judge shirt? In Toronto last night?
No, I was actually living a life.
Yeah, you were on the course.
I was on the course. As a matter of fact, I was playing golf last night.
Well, that buttered me up a little bit.
Did the Yankees win?
Yeah, 11 in a row, baby.
Wow, that's great. You know it's May, right?
Correct. But it's nice. Yeah. It's nice to enjoy right now.
Like 11 in a row, like in October, that's really good. That's legendary. 11 in a row in May? Okay. Must be the Cleveland Guardians. All right. At least I got it right. So what, they 18-6? Let's see. Who's pitching for them tonight? Nestor Cortez.
Nasty Nestor. Who's been fantastic.
Well, that's because he doctors the ball. All right, so...
No good!
I mean, you don't think that group of cheaters is doing it straight, do you? Entire locker room of spider tech. What's going on? And Kikuchi's pitching tonight for Toronto. Who struggled? God, Rizzo's got 9 home runs. Wow. Driven in 20. I like, you know how much I like Rizzo. I think Rizzo's a really...
I told you when they first signed him, they should have re-signed him earlier, but I'm glad they did because he's been very good.
It's an age thing. It's an age thing.
I know. But he's defying those odds right now.
Yeah, I understand, but it's an age thing.
To the analytic, analytic crowd.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they say is they really don't want anybody over 33. How old is Rizzo? Is he 32?
Yes.
Yeah. To me, you know, as a fielder, Yankee Stadium was made for him. I mean, I realize they're playing these games on the road here, but Yankee Stadium was made for him. Top shelf. Top shelf. Let's see. Do you think James Harden's in shape?
No, I don't think he's... I think that's also a good point. I just don't think he's giving any effort anymore. I just don't think he cares. He's just going through the motions. So, yeah, and, I've officially declared that I don't want to see him in a Sixers uniform next season. I'm done.
But, wait a minute, when they acquired him, who was saying all these things?
Well, that would be one Steve Jones.
Do you listen to the show at all?
I do. I just hope you're wrong sometimes.
You make it too easy, okay? You get so emotional about this stuff, you make it too easy. How about the Penguins last night? Did you see what happened with the Penguins?
Oh, what a game. That was insane last night. I didn't stay up for the goal, but I saw what happened the next morning.
Okay. I looked up journeyman in the dictionary, and Louis Domingue's picture was there.
That's awesome.
He stopped all 17 shots. We still don't know why Casey DeSmith left, but he did in overtime. So this guy comes in. He can't let up any goals. Like, there's no leeway here. And he kicks out 17, and they win the game in triple overtime. Wow. That was something.
After the Rangers got hosed with the goaltender interference late in regulation.
The only thing on that I was looking at was what role did Dumoulin play in it, if at all? And, look, the player that hit Casey DeSmith, even if Dumoulin's not there, he's still hitting him. That is goaltender interference. Even if Dumoulin is not there, he's still hitting him. And so I looked at it and thought, geez, I think that's goalie interference. But you don't know, you know. And they called it to their credit. I mean, they called it to their credit. And they weren't happy about that in New York for some odd reason. All right. It's great to have you with us today. Got a couple of notes on the transfer portal, too, we'll get into. Dick in Milton. Dick, great to have you with us. I know you want to talk about the portal, so let's do it.
Steve, yeah, you know, when they started this, I think last year, or whatever year, I my friends and I sometimes had real drawbacks. And today I heard this morning that guys were actually groups of people were getting together with a lot of alumni and collecting money to recruit kids out of the portal, put together super teams almost.
Right. Yeah. Right now.
And, you know, if they're going to do this, what's that going to do for college football?
Yeah. So this is what the American Football Coaches Association is proposing. They are proposing that the portal window be open twice a year. They want it to be open from Sunday, the last Sunday in November, when the regular season is over, up until National Letter of Intent Day, which is right around December 16 in that range. So in other words, be open for 17, 18 days. That's the only time you can put your name in. Now, after that, you can do whatever you want in terms of where you want to go. But that's the only time you can put it in. And the second time you'd be allowed to put it in would be from April 15th to May 1st. So that's what the American Football Coaches Association is proposing. And we'll see if, A, it happens, which I think it will, and, B, what effect it does have on the concept that you are justifiably talking about.
Well, they use Texas for an example. I'm not sure why, unless they've already decided to do this. You know, you could go out. Let's say you had a whole bunch of really, really big-time linemen put their name in the portal. And if you get enough money together, you could put together almost a professional NFL, professional college line. On, you know, and that's to be a big part of a college football team, an offensive line.
No question. And Texas right now, one of the reasons they probably use Texas as an example, they just went through the NFL draft and literally Texas had no players taken. Like, wow. I mean, I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. But that's, Michigan State was able to get itself back on track, getting 20 transfers last year, 15 of which were FBS, including Kenneth Walker, who was drafted by Seattle.
Yeah.
I think that's where the transfer portal, in terms of mass transfer portal, can make a difference in terms of getting a program back on track. But I like the approach that James Franklin takes in that I'm going to recruit up to 25. And when we're done, I'm going to look around and say, you know what? What are we missing here? Right? Is there something we didn't get or an area we need to be older in? And Penn State's been very choosy about, they need an offensive line in the lineman, they got Hunter Norzad. They need another wide receiver, they got Mitchell Tinsley. So that's the way Penn State's gone about it. And I think when in the end, Dick, that's how it's going to settle. Your concept, though, is not out of the realm of possibility that somebody tries to do that, and it sounds like USC's trying to do that.
Well, I guess let's say if one team finds that successful and they have enough of rich alumni out there, millionaires, what would stop a lot of good big game schools from doing that?
Like, you know what? You're a big wrestling fan, huge wrestling fan.
Yeah.
This rule has been in place for college wrestling for a long time. This transfer portal rule did not come into play for football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, and men's ice hockey until a year ago. But wrestling, it's been there for a long time. And it seems like, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, it seems like that has settled itself pretty well in wrestling. Yeah, you get a guy here or a guy there, but it's not in mass. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, because you're not talking about numbers of athletes. But the other side of the coin is, for example, you couldn't transfer within the Big Ten and wrestle until a couple of years ago when the wrestler came out of Penn State and went back to Rutgers, and they left him wrestle right away. And the other thing is, you had to get permission from the coach and the athletic director to leave a school. Right. Now, I think it's just you're on your own.
Yeah, you are on your own. And I know that.
I don't think you could go from one school to another in wrestling without getting permission from the coach first, and also the athletic director. And the other thing is, if you transferred inside the Big Ten, for example, you had to sit out a year.
Yeah, and I remember
Nick Sirianni. And then left Penn State, went back to Rutgers, and he was eligible right away. I guess they just didn't feel like fighting it any longer.
Nick Sirianni, and I think that's the wrestler, right? Yeah, and Cale was not at all happy about that, at all.
No, I'm sure of that, because they made an exception for him, and they didn't make it for now. There's no exception whatsoever. I mean, for example, when a kid goes from one school to another, you just go and wrestle right away. You fill right into that slot.
And Penn State's had a couple of guys come in this direction.
So that is a change. Yeah. I mean, that's not what was allowed before.
Right, but it's not freewheeling in college wrestling. It happens here or there, but it's not the norm in terms of how a wrestling program is built. Maybe that's the way it'll end up being.
Yeah.
Maybe so. That my point is, that's been at least sort of the. Remember the kid from Iowa State? They got Penn State got him, and he transferred. Yeah. He was eligible right away because the rule was allowed him to be. All right. We just haven't seen a lot of that in that, you know, and that it's been allowed under the parameters you were discussing, but it's certainly been allowed to happen. And it has not been the Wild West. I think eventually this will settle down. When that eventuality is, I don't know yet.
Well, I hope you're right. I just like the alumni with the most money get the best players. I guess that's my thing. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no. Hey, thanks, Dick. Yes, boy, and that's always been the fear, too, isn't it? Dick's right. That's always been the fear. Dick's not incorrect in wondering if that's a possibility. Michael Barkan, next half hour. Then Matt, I think he's on the verge of insanity right now. You okay?
Just when it comes to the Sixers, I'm all good with the Yankees right now.
It's game two. I mean, it's game two. You know, Giannis played last night.
So
that's
what
MVPs do. MVPs do.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which means so much. And not only that, fabulous service department, whether it happens to be inspections, routine, diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. So let's continue with the theme of the transfer portal for a moment. Because the American Football Coaches Association, we'll get Michael Barkan in a moment. Mike's calling in. This goes along with what I've talked about, that you needed to have two. I gave it the leeway of three, but I like the idea of two better. Two periods where you can put your name into the transfer portal. College coaches should have the ability to at least feel like they can put a roster together where at least for a period of time there is stability in allowing you to put a roster together. That's what this is about. And I agree with the two times that they picked. They picked at the end of the regular season, the last Sunday in November, up until signing day, which is the third Wednesday in December. That's fine. That makes sense. And the other one is at the end of spring practice, April 15th through May 1st. Again, that makes sense because then after that, it's not that you have to put your name in the portal and you have, you know, I put my name in the portal April 22nd, but I've got to make up my mind by May 1st. No. You can just put your name in the portal anytime between the 15th and May 1st. And then after that, anytime after that, you can still decide where you want to go and what your options are. There's another one that was proposed and talked about, and this is also important. And that is eliminating the 25 recruits you can get in a single year. Yes, you'd still have 85 scholarships. But you, for example, happen to be a coach and you've got 85 scholarship players, and in this particular year, 20 of them, either their eligibility exhausted or they graduate. They're done. A couple guys decide to go to the NFL early, so let's just say three of those, now it's 23. And then you get 10 transfers. Now you're down 33. So you've gone from 85 down to 52. Well, 25 only gets you back to 77. And so they're saying that you can have the flexibility that if you want to get, so in this particular year that I'm talking about, you'd need 28 My apologies. You would need, let's see, 25, 33 to get back to, you need 33 to get back to 85. If you want to make sure you had 85 without giving some walk-on, some scholarships, whatever, you should be allowed to bring in 33 recruits. You know, 33 either through the transfer portal or through just four-year recruiting. You should not be hamstrung by the 25. You can bring in 33 four-year players if you want to get yourself to 85, if you're down to 52 or something like that, which is, based on what I just told you, is a distinct possibility of happening. Some programs are operating at less than 85 because they were not able to make up the numbers because they lost too many players either to graduation eligibility or the transfer portal. So they're also talking about that. In other words, be at 85. How you get to 85 in a given year, you have the flexibility to do it. So, you know, you're not just saying, it's 25, we're up to 77 now. Great. Nope, I need 33 to get to 85. And I want to use all of them, and so you should be allowed to bring in 33. That, to me, that's another rule that has some common sense to it, because the transfer portal is creating far more exits than people realize. At least for some programs. So they should have the flexibility to be able to get back to 85. It also opens the door where you're giving eight more individuals a scholarship opportunity. Because that is something people have talked about with the transfer portal. Would you start losing opportunities to high school players to go someplace on a major college level because of the portal? This would open that door so you can max out the number of high school seniors who have an opportunity to get a four-year opportunity or five-year opportunity, whatever it may be, at a school. That is the other proposal. So both proposals, to me, have common sense to them. Both proposals, to me, I think are good. Corey Geiger wrote an article. I'm trying to remember what his website is now, Nittany Live, Nittany Nation, something like that. And it does, look, this is not about who wrote it. This is not about, you know, I'm saying he wrote it because he wrote it. I want to make sure that we're talking about a piece of work he did. And a good column is one that at least provokes thought. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Now, the person that wrote it probably prefers you do agree with it. Just like on this show, I do prefer you agree with me. Matt never does it, you know, because Matt is, unfortunately, had the kind of upbringing that, you know, now he's rooting for teams, and like his two kids are just going through an unsuspected life of,
get the lingerie on the deck, call the janitor.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see this? Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, just reported on Twitter, keep an eye on Texas for Jordan Addison. Longhorns still have a shot.
Okay. That's fine. Whatever. I mean, yeah. Texas had how many guys drafted this year?
Zero, I think, isn't it?
Hey, good job. All right.
There we go.
There we go. I feel like Don Rickles. Yeah, good. You get a cookie. All right. I mean, that's fine. I mean, but where's Texas going? I don't know. Remember we had Chuck Barron on, the play-by-play voice of Arkansas? And he was talking to us about Oklahoma, Texas, because I brought it up. And he said Oklahoma's going to be, he said, probably a good fit in the Big Ten, in the SEC, with how they play, style of play, so forth. Now, this is before we knew Lincoln Riley was leaving. No. We actually knew Lincoln Riley was leaving at this point. My apologies. But Brett Venables plays that way. He said they'll be a good fit for the SEC. He says, Texas, bottom line, too soft. Wow. Now, remember, Arkansas blew them out in Fayetteville. He said, Steve, they're too soft. So, like, could he go to Texas? Sure. Would it be wow? Yeah. What does it do for Texas? I don't know. He's a good player. Question is, does he have anybody that can give him the ball? And before you say, oh, Quinn Ewers, I can't tell you a single thing about Quinn Ewers. And you know what's interesting? Is everybody I talk to at Ohio State can't tell me either. Remember, he was on the scout team all last year, exactly where I said he was going to be. He's going to look at this all. He's going to be on the scout team. What is he talking about? He's not going to play. Now, Texas, he's got a real chance to play. But again, that's, you know, if he goes there, that's who he has. Now, back to the portal for a moment. So Corey wrote this, you know, because, I mean, Matt jumps around. It's like, if I'm not talking about the Yankees, he's disgusted. If I'm not talking about the Sixers, he's disgusted. If I'm not talking about the Eagles, he's disgusted. If I'm talking about things that, like, our audience wants to talk about, he doesn't like it.
No, senor!
Our play-by-play call of the day is another Yankee call. I think it's a grounder to short, right? All right. So Corey says that the Penn State and James Franklin in particular are not getting the job done because they're not bringing in 6 to 10 transfers a year. Okay. Now, that's at least thought-provoking. Because let's take this in two realms. Let's take this in basketball, and let's take this in football. Now, last year, Micah Shrewsbury comes in late. There is no recruiting class because all three recruits that had verbal to Penn State when the coaching change was made, they all backed out, and so they have no recruits in the recruiting class. That's exactly how it played out. So Micah had to do something, and so Micah brought in, what, 6 transfers, something like that. 5 transfers, because it was the only way to field the team. You notice he went out and he recruited 5 freshmen, but he also wants to build a buffer in for the 5 freshmen. So far, Andrew Funk from Bucknell, who did a really good job for Bucknell, is a good offensive player. Cameron Winter from Drexel, and I think they'd like to get a big man. Because right now they don't want the freshman going in saying, oh my goodness, that Zach Edey, that's a gigantic man. Because Edey's coming back. Hunter Dickinson, okay. Yeah. He'd like to at least buy them a little time so that on their clock, when they're really ready to play, they can really play. Right? But that's how he's using the transfer portal, to pick up a guy here or there. Right? He's only in his second year as the head coach, but that's how he has publicly stated he wants to build his team. James Franklin's doing it the same way. So when Corey's saying that in today's football you need 6 to 10 transfers, first of all, I'm not going to say he's wrong. Right? We'll see how it plays out. Look at Michigan State. Michigan State went out a year ago and got 20 transfers, 15 were FBS, including Kenneth Walker, who ended up being picked by the Seattle Seahawks. Because he knew the 2020 team, that Mel's first team, I'm watching them play Penn State in 2020 in Beaver Stadium, and I'm just glad I can say that there was a game in 2020 in Beaver Stadium, that except for the third quarter, they weren't good. Actually, Matt, it was the second quarter. They had a 21-point second quarter. That's the only quarter Michigan State showed up. The rest of the time, not good. Penn State won the game with relative ease. Okay. So, he goes out, and this is what he decides to do. I need to change over my roster. James Franklin, on the other hand, to go to Corey's point about 6 to 10 transfers, I think has been judicious in what he has wanted to do in the portal. He's gone out and he's recruited. He's really the same philosophy as Micah Shrewsbury. He's recruited in this particular year. Penn State has 25 coming in, 23 that were signed in December, 2 more that were signed in February. Okay, 25. And then as the portal goes, You bring in an Art Lebicady, portal win, fill the need. Derek Tangelo, portal win, fill the need. Johnny Dixon's still there. Johnny's got a chance to start this year. He's going to compete for a lot of playing time. He's going to be there. Now, since he was introduced at Beaver Stadium to the crowd, I think I can talk about him now. But Hunter Norzad, I mean, last year Eric Wilson came in, filled the need. Now it's Hunter Norzad from Cornell. You've got the defensive end coming in from Maryland. I'm not sure I can say his name yet, even though I've talked to him. And I'm just trying to play by the rules, okay? So I apologize. And Mitchell Tinsley. Now, John Lovett came in last year, and Lovett was, it didn't help as much as I thought he might. But then you got Mitchell Tinsley. Tinsley's going to be really good, everybody. He's going to be a really good, productive player for Penn State. Everybody has reasons why they transfer. Tangelo had been at Duke. He wanted to play in the Big Ten. He already had a relationship with the Penn State coaches. Okay. Ebikadi had been at Temple. He wanted to play in the Big Ten. DC kid. I completely get it. They had a long-standing relationship with Johnny Dixon, so he transferred in. Tinsley is a kind of guy who's playing at Western Kentucky, racked up great numbers. In fact, I think you saw his quarterback was drafted by the Patriots. His quarterback got drafted by the Patriots, I think. But he wants to challenge himself at the highest level of college football, so he wanted to go to the Big Ten and play in this conference. And to be honest with you, after watching him, he stays healthy. He's going to succeed. He's going to be a really good player here at Penn State. But he wanted to challenge himself at the next level, which then, of course, makes him a far more viable, draftable commodity. Okay. And that's great. Right? Those are some of the reasons. Because I always want to know when somebody transfers, why do they want to transfer? But that is a judicious use of the transfer portal. And I like that you can bring guys in, guys that you've recruited, guys that you've scouted, have a good feel for their families, and then look around and say, okay, what do I need? What do I need? They needed another edge rusher. That's why the kid from Maryland's coming in. They needed another wide receiver. They already have Tinsley. Now, maybe some people can argue they need another linebacker in there. That's a fair argument to have, okay? But that, to me, is the way to use the transfer portal. Corey says 6 to 10 every year. I'm not going to sit here and say he's wrong, but I like the approach that James is taking with it, though. I think that's the way to do it. Go with as many 4 or 5 year players as possible, or 3 to 5. How about, let's be fair, 3 to 5? And then whatever holes you have, you can fill them in with transfer portal guys that you have scouted and have kept a relationship with. It's another part, too, in recruiting. In recruiting, that's it. Okay, he's not coming here, and you shut it down. That's it. Whatever. You've got to keep relationships going these days, because you never know where it's going to come back, and they're going to say, you know what? Even after I committed someplace else, they still were, you know, couldn't have been any nicer about the process. And people don't forget that, including families. Don't forget it. But it's an interesting article to ponder how to do it in today's world. I like the way James and Mike are going about it, where I need to fill specific needs. I'm not going to build a third of my recruiting class on transfers. I'm not going to build a third of it on transfers. I'm going to build it judiciously using some transfers that fit who we are and what we need. I prefer that. All right, we'll take a break. We got Bob Grove on last night's hockey game that the Penguins won. So you get to play in May, Matt, when your team's good enough.
Someone may want to tell Chuck Fletcher that.
Why don't you do it? You seem to be consumed with hate.
I'll be more than happy to.
In fact, when the Sixers are eliminated, you'll have time to go see him. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I still got now the Yankees. We're all right.
How many World Series they got this century? They got as many as the Phillies. They have one more than the Pirates. That hurt, didn't it?
You really know how to put it together, don't you?
What? I'm just trying. Where? What statement that I make was not factual?
Exactly.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.